to turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 5. Book of Genesis, chapter 5. The chapter opens with, "This is the book of the generations of Adam." That is followed by a reiteration of creation. We see that God created man. Secondly, we see in the likeness of God made he him. Thirdly, we see male and female created he them. Fourthly, and he blessed them. Fifthly, he called their name Adam. The actual genealogy begins in verse 3, starting, of course, with Adam, ending with Noah and his sons, a total of 10 generations in the span of 1,056 years. In this genealogy, there is one who is truly a unique individual, one who stands out as extraordinary amongst all the rest. And his name, of course, is Enoch. We want to read verses 21 through verse 24. "And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." Now, reading through the genealogy of Genesis chapter 5, you cannot help but notice that there is a continuity, there is a uniformity, there is a very, very definite pattern that is established. Leading up to our text, and then following our text as well, the pattern is this: so-and-so lived, and at a certain age, so-and-so begat his heir. We see this beginning with verse 3. "And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son." And then you see in every third verse after that, you see the same thing with a different name. Verse 6, "And Seth lived 105 years and begat Enos." Verse 9, "And Enos lived 90 years and begat Cainan." Verse 12, you see the same thing. Verse 15, same thing. Verse 18, and then verse 21, "And Enoch. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah." After that, the pattern continues that so-and-so then lived on so many years after he begat his heir, and he had more children. And again, you see it beginning with verse 4 and then every third verse after. Verse 4, "In the days of Adam, after he had begotten Seth, were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters." Verse 7, we see the same thing, and then you can just follow the pattern through. Followed by that, as the pattern continues, is so-and-so lived X amount of years and died. Verse 5, "Adam lived 930 years, and he died." Three verses later, all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. Three verses later, and all the days of Enos were 905 years, and he died. Verse 14, and all the days of Cainan were 910 years, and he died. Verse 17, and all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died. Verse 20, and all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. This is the pattern throughout the genealogy. There is a very definite pattern. The record of Enoch begins following the exact same pattern. Verse 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. So the pattern is being followed. But then, there is a major shift in the pattern. Had the pattern remained the same, verse 22 would read, and the days of Enoch, after he had begotten Methuselah, were 300 years, and he begat sons and daughters. That's how it would have read had the pattern stayed the same. But with the change in the pattern, there are five additional words at the beginning of verse 22. And Enoch walked with God. And then there is another break in the pattern. Had the pattern remained the same, verse 23 would read, and all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and he died. Had the pattern remained the same, that's what verse 23 would say. But there is no, and he died. But rather, and he was not, for God took him. So throughout the genealogy, the pattern remains the same, with the exception of the record of Enoch. The pattern is broken in the record of Enoch. That alone, if you were to read Genesis 5, and most people don't read Genesis 5 because it's a genealogy, and most people skip over genealogies. But if you were to read Genesis 5 and you come to the record of Enoch, the pattern is broken. And when a pattern is broken, that ought to get our attention. Something has happened. Something extraordinary has happened. And we want to speak this morning from the ordinary to the extraordinary. First thing we want to notice is that for a time, Enoch lived according to the pattern. For a time, Enoch lived an ordinary life. Now it is important to recognize that, you remember back in Genesis chapter 4, the end to the last 10 or so verses of that chapter, you have the genealogy of Adam through the line of Cain. And that was an ungodly civilization. We come to Genesis chapter 5, and we have the genealogy of Adam through the line of Seth. Seth, of course, is mentioned after Adam there in verse 6. And this is referred to as the line of Seth is referred to as the sons of God in Genesis chapter 6. In other words, this is the more godly line in Adam's genealogy. And in this genealogy, leading up to the record of Enoch, there are the records of the lives of Adam, Seth, Enos, Cainan, Mahalalel, and Jared. And as you read each of those records, the pattern remains the same. There's nothing exceptional. There's nothing extraordinary. There's nothing unprecedented. There's nothing peculiar about any one of these individuals. It is simply stated that they lived, and at a certain age, they begat their heir. And then after that, they lived on so many years, and they begat sons and daughters, and then they died. Arriving at verse 21, just like what preceded, Enoch lived X amount of years, and he begat his heir. Everything's following the pattern. For 65 years, the life of Enoch followed the pattern of the genealogy. In comparison with the others mentioned in the genealogy, for 65 years, Enoch's life followed the path of the norm, followed the path of the ordinary. 65 years, his life followed the path of the regular and the usual. In comparison with the others that are mentioned there in Genesis chapter 5, for 65 years, Enoch's life could be considered as average, following the pattern of those around him. For 65 years, there is nothing that sets apart Enoch from the rest of those mentioned in the genealogy. That brings us to our second point. There was a transition point in the life of Enoch. Enoch lived 365 years. And in our text, his life is divided into two parts. 65 years and 300 years. But at the age of 65, something happened that would profoundly affect the rest of Enoch's life. Now we need to realize that at 65 years of age, we need to put this in perspective. At 65 years of age, Enoch had only lived 17.8% of his life. At 65, Enoch was very young. Now, to put that in perspective, if you and I were to live to be 100, and we probably won't, but if you and I were to live to 100, this would be the equivalency of just before our 18th birthday. If you and I were to live to be 75, some of you have already passed that, this would be just 3 months past our 13th birthday. From this we see that at age 65, Enoch was a very young man. So here's Enoch. He has lived just short of 18% of his life. And his life is following the path of the norm, following the path of the ordinary, following the path of the usual. And then something happened at age 65 that would drastically change the way that Enoch would live the rest of his life. Now, what sets Enoch apart from all the others mentioned? What makes him extraordinary and peculiar was the fact that we are twice told that Enoch walked with God. And this fact is connected with the birth of Methuselah. Notice again verse 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. Everything's following the pattern. Now the pattern's broken. And Enoch walked with God. That is not said of anyone else in Genesis chapter 5. Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years. So it is stated that after the birth of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years, or for the rest of his life. Now that leads me to believe that a walk with God did not characterize Enoch's life prior to this. For 65 years, Enoch did not walk with God, because it is specifically stated after that he did. So for 65 years, Enoch lived his own life. But after he begat Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years. In other words, the birth of Methuselah was transformational to the life of Enoch. At the birth of Methuselah, the life of Enoch moved from the ordinary to the extraordinary. So what happened? Well, it's sad, but many commentaries suggest that when Methuselah was born, and many preach this on Father's Day, Enoch, he realized at that moment the responsibility of a father, and he changed his life. He realized when Methuselah was born that Methuselah would need a good example. So from that day on, Enoch changed his way. Well, that presents a question. Was it simply the birth of a son that transformed the character of Enoch? Was it simply the birth of a son that transformed the disposition and the thinking and the behavior of the rest of Enoch's life? No. There is so much more to it than that. First of all, God in his absolute sovereignty caused Enoch to name his heir, his firstborn son, Methuselah. I picture Enoch holding his infant son in arms, and God said, Enoch, name him Methuselah. Meaning, and Enoch knew very well what the name meant, when he is dead, it shall be sent. When he is dead, it shall come. Methuselah was a symbol of the approaching judgment of God. He was also a symbol of the long-suffering of God. But Enoch received in his son a message from God. Enoch, when that son of yours dies, judgment is coming. It's coming. So at age 65, he's almost lived 18% of his life, and Enoch receives a message from God. And I believe that message gripped and squeezed and pressed the heart of Enoch. So much so that for the 300 years that Enoch lived after the birth of his son Methuselah, he lived believing and knowing that when his son died, God's judgment would come. Now you'll notice God did not tell Enoch when his son would die. But Enoch knew when he dies,
Judgment is coming. I can just imagine every time Methuselah said, "Dad, I'm just not feeling well today." Or Methuselah began to sneeze or cough or get the sniffles. Oh, this could be the day. This could be the day.
God did not tell Enoch when Methuselah would die. But Enoch lived the rest of his life knowing that the time is short. He lived the rest of his life knowing that the time was short and that any moment the judgment of God could come. Enoch knew and understood that he was living in a society under the impending wrath of God. When Methuselah was born, Enoch received the message, when he is gone, when he dies, it shall come. And Enoch understood. And Enoch believed wholeheartedly the message. And for the next 300 years, Enoch walked with God. I'm telling you, at the age of 65, Enoch truly got the message. And it changed his life. The message, he not only got the message, but the message got a hold of him. And it changed the rest of his life. For the rest of his life, he walked with God. In other words, at the age of 65, very young age again, he'd only lived about 18% of his life, 17.8 to be exact. At 65 years of age, Enoch truly got it. Oh, that we would get it at such a young age. So much so, he so got it that it turned his life upside down. And oh, that we would get he lived what was considered a normal life for 65 years. But through the birth of Methuselah, he received a message from God. A message that was planted deeply in his heart. A message that Enoch could never get away from. For the rest of his life, he walked with God. At a young age, the message of God gripped the heart of Enoch. Enoch understood. And Enoch believed what God was telling him through Methuselah. In other words, Enoch got it. And the rest of his life took on an entirely different purpose. Entirely different meaning. You see, Enoch got it. He understood. And now God was the very meaning of his life. Now God was the very essence of his life. And may I say, if God is not the very meaning of your life, if God is not the very essence of your life, you may have heard hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of messages, but you still haven't got it. It still hasn't sunk in. Enoch got it. He got the message. And it transformed his life. Now God was the dominating factor in Enoch's life. Now God was the object of Enoch's life. Now God was the center of Enoch's life. God was the emphasis of Enoch's life. If that is not so today, you still haven't got it. Oh, but I've been sitting in church all my life. That makes it worse. You still haven't got it. Oh, I've heard message upon message upon message. But if God is not the center of your life, if God is not the very essence of your life, if God is not the dominating factor of your life, you still have not got it. You still haven't gotten it. Oh, you've heard the message, but it hasn't sunk in. Enoch got it. He got what God was saying through the birth of Methuselah. Enoch got it, and for the rest of his life, which would be 300 more years, Enoch had a seriousness about him that he did not possess at first 65 years. Enoch had an urgency, a passion, an earnestness, a commitment, a devotion, a dedication to God that he did not have before. And if that's not so today in your life, you still don't get it. You still don't get it. Enoch got it. For the rest of his life, the remaining 82% of his life, his motives were different. If your motives are the same as the world, you just do not get it. His thinking was different. The message of God changed his thinking. It changed the way he viewed life. It changed his focus. I guarantee you it changed his priorities. You know why many today, their priorities are so backwards? They don't get it. They just don't get it. Oh, they've been hearing messages all their life. That may be so, but they still haven't got it. It hasn't sunk in. His goals were different. If your goals are in line with the world's goals, you don't get it. His pursuits were all changed. And if your pursuits are in line with the world, you still don't get it. But Enoch got it. And for the rest of his life, God and the things of God were foremost in Enoch's life. Enoch got it. And for the rest of his life, he lived for the honor and glory of God. He lived recognizing God's rule. If you are oblivious today to the rule of God, you don't get it. God's throne was established in his heart. And he lived the rest of his life in the light of God's ownership and authority. God owns me, and God has the right to tell me how to live. And if you don't believe that, you don't get it. Enoch got it. He got the message. For the rest of his life was intertwined and weaved to God. If you are satisfied today with just coming to church on Sunday mornings or Sunday evenings or Wednesday evenings and that satisfies you, my friend, you just don't get it. It hasn't sunk in yet. Well, at least I go to church. Well, that's better than the lost man. I'll grant you that. But if that satisfies you, you just don't get it. You just don't get it. Enoch got it. And for the rest of his life, 300 years,
He sought to worship the Lord. He sought to praise the Lord and to love Him and to serve Him and to fellowship with Him and to be near to Him and to know Him and to be identified with Him. Enoch got it. And for the rest of his life, Enoch was drawn to God. If you look at your life and you find that you are not drawn to God, you're drawn to the things of the world, you just don't get it. I tell myself this all the time because I believe today that the majority of God's people, the majority sitting in Baptist churches today, they just don't get it. This is why they choose other activities. It doesn't matter what the activity is. They choose other activities rather than being in the house of God. I'm telling you, they just don't get it. They just don't get it. You preach and you preach and you preach, but I'm telling you, they don't get it. Because when they get it, it'll transform their lives. And that's what happened here with Enoch. Enoch got it. And for the rest of his life, he was occupied and obsessed with God rather than the world. God's power was upon him. And Enoch intentionally directed his life toward God, and the service of God was no longer a sideline. If the service of God is a sideline, you don't get it. You just don't get it. I don't care how many messages you've heard, you don't get it. God's business is not a sideline. It's our life. That's true of everyone who was saved. Enoch got it. And he lived every day as it might be his last. Because who knows? Enoch might die today, but Methuselah might die today also. And then the judgment of God would fall. Enoch lived as if every day were his last upon earth. That will change the way you live your life. That will cause you to get your priorities right. That will cause you to realize what's truly important. Enoch got it. We say we believe that Jesus could come at any moment. But let me say there are very, 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 very few who truly get that. Because it does not transform their lives. Enoch got it. Methuselah was born. God said, Enoch, name him Methuselah. Enoch knew what that name meant. And that message gripped his heart. And that day, up until then, Enoch was living the same pattern that everyone else in the genealogy had lived. But that day, he became the man that his wife needed. That day, he became the father. Not only the father of Methuselah, he became the father that Methuselah needed. That day, Enoch became the man, the father, the husband that his family needed. And when you get it, when you truly get it, when the message of God so grips your heart that it transforms your life, then and only then are you the wife, the mother, the husband, the father that your family needs. Enoch got it. Oh, that we would get it today. Oh, that the message of God would grip our hearts, would press our hearts, and transform our lives. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God. Methuselah was born. Oh, for all these today who say, oh, Enoch, he held that little boy in his arms and he realized, oh, I want to be a good dad to this boy. Now I'm just going to change my life. Oh, no. There's much more to it than that. Enoch got a message that changed his life. And oh, that we would get a message. That the message of God would change our lives. The problem in our day is when the message is over, it's over in most people's minds. The problem is even greater than that. The problem is the message is over in most people's minds before the message is really over. There comes a point where they stop listening. But Enoch got it. Enoch got it. Again, you may have heard, and most people sitting here have, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of messages. But do you get it? Do you truly get it? The truth is, if it's not our habit and way of life to seek first the kingdom of God, may I say that's not just a suggestion. That's not just a good piece of advice. That's how we're to live. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. If that's not so in your life, regardless of how many messages you have heard, you just don't get it. You just don't get it. And the things of the world take the place of the things of God. Regardless of how many messages you have heard, you just don't get it. Well, Brother Dan, you need to understand that that's time with my family. I do understand. I understand you don't get it. You just don't get it. God help us to not only hear the message, but to get it. Not only to hear the message, but the message would get a hold of us. Hold of our hearts and minds. So much so that it transforms our life. When Enoch got it, he moved from the ordinary to the extraordinary. And this is in the context of a godly line. He moved from the ordinary to the extraordinary in the godly line. Not just talking about lost people. Most of us live extraordinary lives compared to the lost. There's more to it than that. This is the godly line. And Enoch stood out amongst the godly line. Why? Because he got it. Whenever it happens, you might be 99 years old. But I pray one day it'll happen. We get it. But I pray that we don't wait to get it right before our life ends. Can you imagine getting it at such a young age? What a difference. The problem is today, most people, by the time they get it, it's almost too late. They don't have much time left. Oh, that they would have got it early on. Moms and dads, you want to be the parents that you ought to be, the husbands and wives you ought to be, get the message. Get the message. understand and believe and be persuaded that this book is so, that what it says is true. Let that get a hold of your life and your heart. I believe the Bible. That might be so. I'm glad you do. But do you get it? Do you truly, truly get it? You know, it's amazing what people go through. And at the end of it, they still don't get it. That's sad. That's so sad. They go through horrendous trials. And then through the end of the trial, one thing is clear. They still don't get it. How sad. Seems to me like that trial was a waste. It's amazing how old people live to and still don't get it. I'll tell you right now, those who truly get it will stand out from all the rest. You can't help but notice. They're different. Did you hear that brother so-and-so turned down an opportunity because it was going to take him from church? Can you believe that? My friend, they get it. Wake up! And get it. Oh, that this weren't so odd today amongst God's people. That it wasn't such a rarity that there are so few who truly get it. I tell myself, I probably say these words every single day. They just don't get it. They just don't get it. And it's so true. Oh, that we would get it. Today. Remember what Jesus said to the woman at the well? He said, if you knew, that's true today. If we only knew. If we really knew what a difference it would make. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us. Verse 6.